This is Ryan.
And this is Wayne.
And this is Kill the Rabbit Podcast. We have been gone for a month for Christmas,
solid
New Year's.
Month. Illnesses, cold weather, everything.
Yes, everything. So, we didn't come last week because you had the kids here, my sister's kids.
Yeah, that would have been crazy.
That would have been impossible. Which is fine, but, I think it's been 4 weeks. It's been Christmas and New Year's. Not a lot has happened. I mean, some stuff has happened. Like, my business that I'm doing with the other guy is moving along. I am looking into building, like, a proof of concept. So, what I did is I bought, like, a kit that I didn't know this. So companies that want to, I guess small companies that want to implement, what do they call it? It's not asset tracking. It's like through a turnstile thing where you beep your card, that kind of stuff. So they'll sell kits so that you can kind of tinker with them and see which one fits you best. And then I'm learning all about so you have what's called a low frequency and high frequency RFID tags. So a low frequency is something with like a centimeter or 2 centimeter read range. High frequency can achieve a larger read distance up to like 1.5 meters. So I'm hitting that sweet spot for the use case of what we're doing. So I've been formulating all the plans and I was planning, and then finally I said, I'll just buy the kit just to start and just to see where it goes. Then I've been architecting and designing all the software how it all works. It's proving to be complicated, to say the least. I'll show you a diagram later. It's just as complex on software side as it is on hardware. Hardware is going to have to be custom-ish. I've been reaching out to various engineers since this is not my forte, but it's something that you're not going to get help with. It's not like you can pursue another partner because they don't really exist, at least in my circle of influence or people that I know. Even engineers that I will ask aren't able to help me beyond a certain point. Mm-hmm. So when we get into, like, I need signal amplification or antenna customization, it's just that's beyond my knowledge. And the interesting thing of why is in engineering, in electronics, electrical, software, everyone specializes, not as much in software, but even there it happens, but more on electrical side or electronic side, people specialize into such a niche that they can't do, it's not that they can't do anything outside of that, it's just that they don't feel comfortable doing things outside of that. Like you take your certain classes and that's all you do, whereas in my education, I kind of just took things to their natural conclusion. So in high school, I added electronics as a course. Just because. So I went through and did everything from breadboarding to prototyping to memorizing all the color bands and resistors and what they mean for how many ohms, and then doing like calculations on circuits on where capacitors go and resistors go and inductors and potentiometers and all these other things. I did it for fun, whereas when you get into more of an electronics like chip design, you're typically on a software program, but you wouldn't be able to do any type of like crazy electrical modification. Now I know someone out there is an electrical engineer and they're going to crucify me for saying that, but that's just been my experience. Yeah. Like everyone that I ask, if it's beyond their realm of understanding, they literally just like they can't go further. So I'm on my own again. So I'm prototyping this electrical thing. I'm architecting all the software around it. My partner is talking about, hey, you know, if this is going to be a game changer, we should patent it. Now, that's a little too soon to say if that's even doable. But, you know, he could have a point, right? A lot of industries don't have as much velocity as far as technology development as others, just because it's not a another Google or, people don't care, right? Like if I told you I'm going to build the next Snapchat, 100% of people or 90% of people will be on board with understanding the magnitude and gravity and the wow, that's so awesome. Whereas if I told you I'm going to revolutionize irrigation, there's probably not a lot of competitors in that space. So just why the same reason that I moved to Houston to get a job as opposed to Austin is I want to be the big fish in the small pond. So if I can bring that talent and that ability to that arena and really hone in on the electronic side and the software side and marrying those together and building a product that we could even sell to other companies would be really cool. So that's just been what I've been doing. I've been working on the Realm. Like I told you, I installed all those rad nifty new things. To my dismay, that my small single board computer couldn't handle it, just because when you run Linux, so Linux is an operating system like Windows. So they have a million different flavors of Linux. This is called fracturing, or something. Things break apart. Android has the same problem. So you have so many different versions of something that certain versions, based on what they're built for. Like if I'm building an operating system for like a phone, it doesn't need to have like the capability to run virtual reality games. So I'm not going to include certain features to that operating system. So it's the same thing. So I installed these nifty difty things on something called an event loop, which has to do with asynchronous programming, and it didn't have support for that. So at the end of the day, I installed everything, only to find out, oh, this core level thing you can't use, therefore it negates everything you just did.
Days.
Which was a good lesson because it teaches you kind of look before you leap, right? Just because something is brand new and really flashy doesn't mean that you need to install it, because you have to fit the use case for what it's used for. You know what I mean? Like, what are you trying to do? What is the point of what you're doing with this?
Well, not everything is considered universal, like a universal remote controller. In order to claim that, you really have to know that what you've got really can be used universally. But
Yes.
whoever created something probably had something in mind.
Yeah, and the other thing you have to look at is support. Like if you don't have a strong support background or a strong support audience or support environment, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. The people that are there to support it. Like open source is built by a lot of people together. So if you've only got two dudes and then you have a million, I would go with a million because I'm going to have support into the future. That's why Python's been around for 20 years. Whereas that's the argument with, well, no, you should use Go because it's faster and it compiles to bytecode. But how they're fracturing as far as like how they do package management and all these other things that are important for the life cycle and for the longevity of a language, it's there and it's coming, but I wouldn't bet the farm on it. Whereas Python's been around 20 years, I'd bet the farm on it. So those things that you never think to evaluate when you're building a product, that foundational stuff is important, and you can't just have that vanish one day because that's a big deal.
Are you gonna gamble? That's a pretty big gamble, yeah, on something that's not tried and true under many types of scenarios.
So I've been doing that. I've been doing the work on the Realm. I put all the new stuff on and pulled it all off, and so now I have it running how it's supposed to. So now I'm working on how I'm downloading software and pushing it onto the device itself and getting into that stuff, and then doing the electronic stuff, and then still working on Quasmopod as far as like taking 30 minutes. And I started it's like a to-do list for all intents and purposes, right? For you to like throw ideas, right? Like Quasmopod should be something that utilizes Python or Django and or Django and or Flask and or AWS, because those are your levels of expertise. Quasmopod shouldn't be a dog grooming company, so you can at least whittle it down to what it exists in.
Right.
So then taking the conscious time of, whereas before I would think, it'll just come to me. Now I'm realizing it has to be nose to the grindstone. Even if you feel like nothing is happening, just making myself sit there and brainstorm, what is something that you could build? And then I've been putting feelers out with other people to get suggestions on ideas as far as how much to charge and what to build. And that guy came back and said, don't do $20, do $500. Also, I'm learning now, too, you really have to trust your gut. Take people's advice with a grain of salt. At the end of the day, it's your thing. Maybe it won't work for him, but you're not building the same thing that he built. So I'm learning sometimes that I ask advice as an excuse because I'm scared to do it.
You want somebody else to tell you what to do.
Or to validate that it's a good idea. Yeah. You know, like when someone says, wow, that's a fantastic idea, you're more likely to be like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to do it. You have to build up that strength to be able to say, I don't care what other people are going to say if I should do it or not do it. Sometimes you kind of have to stick to your guns.
And it really sheds a light on the folks that we those people that we say they march to the beat of a different drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And that all sounds good and all that, but do you realize what it takes to march to the beat of a different drummer?
Yeah.
To do your own thing, even if it doesn't make sense to others around you, or even if they're saying, no, that's not going to work, but there's something inside you that says, yes, it will. I just know it will.
Well, and that's the experience that I'm having with that electronics thing. Like, with all the Googling I'm doing on that thing, it's like, do it like this. No, do it like this. No, do it like this. No one has any tried and true. What I've learned about the internet, 80% of it is fluff and doesn't get past step one. It will only help you so far. But it's like someone, it has the information sometimes that you need, but for the most part, what I've found in things that are not popular buzzword ideas, there's not going to be a lot there. And so looking at it, and that's where sometimes buying a book is better. Because no one's going to write about, no one's going to give you step-by-step how to do it. So I'm kind of in an unknown arena. And you know, with my partner, he's like, oh man, you know, how's that going? And I'm like, well, it's kind of good because it means not a lot of people are doing this type of thing. Because now that I've seen it, and I'll show it to you, the complications involved, it's a lot. So there's not a lot of people that, number one, have the ability to even pull it off. And number two, if they have the ability to pull it off, they probably don't have the market or the ear of the potential clients. So in our situation, we have both. So, but it's been an experience because I was planning and Googling and researching, and I was like, no, 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 we should do this. No, 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 we should do this. No, 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 we should do this. And then I got to the point where I was like, I have to just buy the thing and just put something together.
Sure.
So that I at least have something.
Yep.
Because I think that's valuable from a standpoint of starting somewhere. Like, I'm trying to plan all these things into the future when it's like, you have no idea if this is even doable. So the thing that I'm doing is I'm building the initial thing with the card first, then increase the distance. Just do that. That will be an interesting experience in and of itself. Once you have that, then you can pass go to the next piece. So I've been organizing things into like release chunks. So like release one is just do that. Forget everything else. All software, that's cool. None of that matters if you can't get that thing working, right? If that doesn't work, it's dead in the water. Or you need to reevaluate. So it's a good experience as I look and in light of like the realm and stuff like that. So that's how it's been going. I'm slowly getting back into it. The biggest thing for me has been putting things on the calendar instead of just having a running to-do list. Now I make sure that everything's on the calendar. And it's really eye-opening with regard to, you can't have a to-do list of 20 items at 7 p.m. at night. You won't get all of them done.
No.
So you just kind of have to pick and choose and plan them out. So I've been utilizing my calendar way more than my Todoist app from just, it takes physical time to do it. So you can't just write, I want to do these 80 things today. Well, you're going to do 20 and move the 60 out to the next day. So you have to really time box what it is you're doing. And for the other stuff that I get too engrossed in, like I get too engrossed with the with RFID thing, that I'll ignore the realm. So you have to like don't exhaust, don't like burn out, right? Don't do 5 hours one day, and then you just feel like you can't do it anymore the next day. So I've been working on like do your stupid timer, do 30 minutes, that's it. Even if you're on a roll, stop. Go to the next
Yeah.
thing. So that's what I've been doing the last couple weeks. It's just been hammering on my calendar stuff.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
How's it been going for you?
It's actually been going a lot better. This past week, I took some time off over Christmas. I didn't get much of anything accomplished, as far as what we talk about, as far as my writing and things like that during that period of time.
Did you relax?
I relaxed. That was probably
Yeah, I didn't do much of anything over the break.
huge.
I did nothing over the break, actually.
It's funny how you don't realize how wound up you are until you start to relax, and then you're wondering why you're so tired. But you do get wound up at times because you continue to go at it, and a certain level of stress just keeps you from totally relaxing, and which is really what you need, especially if you're doing anything on the creative side. But anyway, this last week was very, very good. But let me back up just a little bit. What started it was I was thinking, I'm going to write this book. I've heard people say this before, but I think until you own that comment, and instead of reading it somewhat or hearing someone else say it, until you say it, it really doesn't mean a lot. I say I'm going to write this book, and it's not going to be stopped by somebody saying, "Well, yeah, but you said those things before," or "I don't know, I don't think you really want to do that because you've so far you haven't done it." Okay, but I planted the flag and I said I'm going to write this book. The first tough thing that I came across, and I've had this problem before, is that I've been trying to write this book for a lot of years. If you go back in the revisions of this book, it goes back a long time. I
How
mean,
long?
probably 10 years at least.
Wow. The realms, I've been doing the realm for 2, almost 3 years.
Yeah, and I'm probably being conservative there because I think it actually goes back further than that. Yeah, it does go back further than that. But I would say it probably goes back maybe 15, possibly 20 years, in which this has been floating around in my head. Okay. I think as I look back over that all that time and all the different revisions and different things that got it going and the stops, and then it just kind of lay dormant for a period of time, and then I'd pick it up again. The difficult part about picking up it again after you've left it and laying dormant for so long is that, first of all, you're rereading what you wrote, but over time you get more and more revisions, and then you have to make a decision. Are you going to go with this or chunk it? You're going to start over again? Are you going to, where, or determining what is the problem here? Where is it that you're getting hung up on? And so the cleanup period was the hard part initially because I had to go through all my notes and decide, I'm nah, throw that, combine this, throw that. And then I had to think about restructuring it for my sake. And I think as you were kind of talking about how everybody's got advice about how you ought to write or how you ought to build a thing, whatever you're trying to do. And there's nothing wrong with thinking about what those people are saying because maybe there's some wisdom in what they're saying. On the other hand, you got to recognize fairly quickly whether something is going to work for you or it's not working for you, and that's okay. Maybe it, if nothing else, it was one method that you believe is not going to work for you. So anyway, I was trying to come up with a template in which I was going to look at the book again. I was going to decide, no, this character doesn't fit, he's gone. This storyline, I don't like this. I'm going to go with this storyline. And it involved certain decisions. Mm-hmm. With any kind of a story that you're thinking about, there's these fork in the road types mm-hmm. of decisions you have to make, and you have to decide which way you're going to go with it. That doesn't mean you can't go back and test it out on the other road. That's the one good thing about writing a book. It's not like your life, you can't go back and do things over again in your life. But in a book, you can. You can go mm-hmm. back to that fork in the road and say, okay, let's try that scenario with this thing. Kind of like those books that they have where you can take that fork in the road in those children's books and go this way or go that way type of thing. So I was playing around with that a little bit this last couple of weeks here. But I think the one thing that I keep coming back to that's probably the most valuable for me to think about is just something that I've said way too many times, but it merits repeating, and that is I need to spend the time to really be focused on getting to the next level with the writing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not every time I sit down, because I think if you evaluate what's more important, getting to the next level or writing consistently every day, I think it's both and. Mm-hmm. I mean, understanding the limitations of time, you can't absolutely, write more than a certain amount of time some days. So you ought to.
Well, it's still a creative process, too. Right. It's not like you can write every day all you want to. And I've read books by authors that I feel like they're doing that because it's just so mechanical.
The part where you have to really work through the fog till you get to where the light breaks through and you get to that next level. I need that
because mm-hmm.
there's certain aspects of this book that if I don't do that, I'm not going to be able to continue writing it.
Yeah.
So when you recognize that and you say, no, this is huge. This particular part of this story, there has to be a breakthrough on this, and which means so whatever time it takes, find a good sized block of time mm-hmm. where you can sit down and just really persevere through this. Once again, reminding yourself, you said that you're going to finish this thing, so you're not quitting just because it's getting hard and just because you can't seem to think of anything. Maybe there's some different ways of thinking about it. So maybe you get a little crazy and you try different ideas like storyboarding or getting up and talking out loud and kind of stepping yourself through the story so that you're kind of acting it out. Whatever it takes in order for you to feel it. Now, I think it was yesterday or the day before, I had a little bit of an inkling of a breakthrough. And it was really kind of cool. Because I recognized that where I was struggling with this one particular fork in the road, I realized that I could see down the road a little further on this one fork,
mm-hmm.
and it would take me to a bad place. It wouldn't work, and so that was good because then I was able to eliminate that and just say that's not going to work because if you have this character do this, this is where you're going to end up. You don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes time to think those things through
mm-hmm.
and to recognize that. So,
well, and that's the same thing that I did with those releases. So, like, you know how I did, like, a release is a full circle turnkey thing that mm-hmm. I can say, this is done. So, like, release one is this thing. And once that's done, it's done so that I get that sense of completion.
Right.
Whereas before it was like, okay, well, whenever I finish the realm, well, for all intents and purposes, the realm will never be finished because a software project, probably just like a book, like an author probably stops where they know they should, but it's probably not, they could write forever. So, or maybe that's not the same for you, but once I have that release and it's done, then I can build on it, then I can feel that satisfaction that I did something, as opposed to just this open-ended, just like, I'm going to study all night long. Well, you're not going to study all night long because you're just going to screw around for 10 hours and cram for 2 hours because you gave yourself too much room. Was mm-hmm. it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like too much, it's not within a limit, right?
Right.
But if you said, I'm going to spend this hour to do this or once my release, and I've applied those release things to everything, to like All the electronics thing I'm doing, I have releases for that because it helps me, like, because I look at so many things at one time, it helps me to just focus in on this. Like I said, if you can't get that distance, software doesn't matter at all. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, as far as the other thing that kind of hit me was this. I've been balking at joining some kind of a organization. We talked about the 48 Days community that they have for a variety of different types of things, and they have a writers community.
Is it online or is it local?
It's online. And I need to get feedback from other writers. Okay. But what I've recognized about myself is there's, I'm obviously not alone in this, but the fear of, just being vulnerable and saying, here, I did this, and nobody's going to laugh at it, really. I mean, nobody's going to really be critical necessarily in a group like that. So you really can do nothing but benefit from aligning yourself with that type of an organization. And so I'm feeling like I really need to do that. And when you think about it, well, it's either there or at some point, if you ever decided to publish it, guess who's going to read it? Everybody. And so if you think you're intimidated now, you really will benefit from aligning yourself with others who are of like mind, who are doing the same kind of thing before you throw it out there to all kinds of people that may end up ripping you to shreds because they didn't like this or that about your book.
Right. Well, and I think having it from people that not matter, but that their opinion is a little like whenever someone criticizes something about my, especially with software, I'll always ask like, why? What do you think? Why do you think that? What would you do better? What is it lacking? And if they can't definitively point to where it's actually lacking or having a problem, then I just kind of chalk it up to they're just being a negative
Well, but
Nancy.
for me, this is again what I would say I admire about you, that you're willing to do that. I think I'm probably not alone in this because I've run across people like me before who don't even get that far sometimes to be willing to throw it out there. And that, comes back to that fear of failure or fear of success, however you want to look at it, in which I'll show them I just won't do it at all.
Right.
Oh, really? Yeah, who wins with that? And so what you realize that you're actually the enemy.
Yeah.
It's not those people out there. You're the enemy. You're the one that's holding you back. If you
Yeah.
aligned yourself with a community of people of like mind, they could do nothing but benefit you. Even if it came across as being critical at times, they would at least be people who are running down the same path as you are, and a lot of their criticisms come from their experiences doing the same thing you're doing. So how could you lose from that? So I think it's just a thing for me of looking in the mirror and saying, okay, so you're afraid. You're not the first to be afraid, but if you're not careful, your fear will keep you right where you're at, and you
Well,
won't go
and you're not
further.
the you're so in it. I'll do the same thing. Like I'll show it to people that aren't engineers, so they think it's magical. Whereas if I show it to engineers, they'll be like, "Why are you doing it like this? Why don't you do it like that?" And that's why I'm not there yet. I'm getting there, but it's just kind of a it's a process.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, and we're not honest with ourselves a lot of times, and that's part of the problem. We don't know it all. If we did, we wouldn't have to ask anybody. We wouldn't have to beat our heads against the wall trying to figure out something. But we don't know it all. And there's always somebody out there that knows more. Always. And sometimes they'll say it nicely, sometimes they won't say it nicely. But if you can cultivate an attitude of receptivity that, okay, whatever you have to say, I'm listening. I may not like the way you say it, but I'm going to listen and I'm going to honestly evaluate what you're saying. But you do have to take the step. Like for me, I think I'm almost there to punch in the send button to say, "Hey, I want to join that group."
Would
And
you send them some of the stuff that you've been working on?
I don't know
Like
how that works
snippets?
exactly. I think it's probably more up to you. I'm just kind of guessing a little bit. I mean, obviously, nobody's going to. This is not something where you're required to have everybody. Everybody puts up or shut up. They have to submit their work, and it's evaluated by the group, and we put you under a spotlight. I think it's more of an encouraging, and as much as you're willing to share and ask, I think that's really where it goes from there. The people that benefit most from those communities are the ones that participate the most and are willing to be vulnerable the most. Those are the ones that are going to gain the most. The good thing from the people that are the outliers that are there, but they're still afraid to share, is that they'll watch somebody else who steps out into the arena and then they'll say, "Okay, I guess I need to do that too." And it'll encourage those who are hesitating to step out there because they see somebody else. Plus, you get to know people. You may not see them face to face, but you get to know about them because they're sharing things that aren't just matter of fact stuff. They're sharing parts of themselves. So you get to know them, you start to feel more comfortable. That makes it a whole lot easier to be willing to share with others, as opposed to publishing a book and getting criticism from people
Yeah,
that
I
you don't
wouldn't
know
do
from
that.
Adam,
Because you can't gauge whether it's good feedback or not. Like, you could just have gotten the bad group of people that you know what I mean? So, but on the same side, on the flip side of it is it gives you confidence to tell people about it. And that's why I've kind of learned of like building your tribe of like people that you would sell it to. Like, and so like for myself, it goes back to the thing. Like, the game changer for me was the Roosevelt quote about the man in the arena. That was my turning point, because that's where it got real. Because it's either are you gonna do it or are you not? Because if you're gonna do it, you have to get in the game.
You have to risk, and that's the hard part for the fearful, like myself, or maybe others who are fearful of just stepping out there. It's safe, it's cozy, it's warm in the womb, but the fact of the matter is, you'll never go anywhere there.
Yeah, and you'll never know. So I guess for next week, because I'm trying to work at being more consistent, which I've been doing better at, I will put together the thing, the kit, right, and get it working, right, which will involve software, hardware, probably soldering, which I haven't done in a while. Then for Realm, I think my goal last time was to do it all in a week, which I got sidetracked and installing the wrong things, and so that didn't happen. So my goal needs to get reined back a little bit for this week will be to the software is already going on the device, to at least have it talking the server with the device. So like getting there, and then you're almost to the finish line. To being done with the first one where I can click the thing and it goes all the way through and turns the light off, then all the way on and all that other stuff. So that'll probably be week two, but for this week it'll be assembling my thing and then doing the communication between the device and the server.
That's
And for
good.
you?
And for me, I choose to do nothing.
Oh, I guess you could join the group. Are you gonna
Well,
or think about it?
I will tell you this. I know myself, and it's easy to talk. One thing I will commit to, I will explore the group to see what I can find out about it.
If it even fits.
And we'll see whether I join it or something else. But I know I need to do something where I'm getting exposure to others of like mind, because I could really benefit from that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that way, like I said, it's encouraging when you don't feel like it's nice when I tell people about the Realm stuff that are actual engineers and they're just like, "Wow, dude, that seems really cool. That's an undertaking." You feel like, "Oh, maybe I am going in the right direction." 'Cause sometimes you feel like you have no idea what's going on. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing, and I need to try to seek out my people. Mine are they don't even have like a title per se as far as like they're a writer. Like mine are just like weird off people. It's like most engineers that I talk to, we'll get into a conversation, I'll get excited because they're doing kind of similar things that I'm doing, and then I'll just kind of go, and then this and this this, and they're like, whoa, 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 no, I don't do any of that. So it's just kind of trying to find like-minded people for myself has been difficult.
Finding your tribe, as you say.
Yeah, my tribe of one other person.
And that's really good. And I need to remind myself of this. You can stay in your little cozy corner, and the only problem is that you think your fears of getting out there and taking the risk of criticism is bad. The giants you're creating in your little room are probably far more dangerous to you than any giants you might find out there when you take the risk of putting yourself out there and taking a chance on what people may think or whatever. The dangers of staying static without taking a risk are far greater. It's kind of like you said with that quote, it's not the people up in the stands. It's the people that are down in the arena that have put their life on the line. Those are the people, they're going to know victory or defeat, but you know neither if you're up in the stands just watching it,
At least I'll know something. Like you said, even though you made that decision with the book, right, that you're like, this is not the right choice, a false or a positive is good in determining direction. And as a creator, you can't do anything. You can't deny yourself that like innate desire to create. So it's just you can try, and I've tried in my life to kind of stifle it, but it's never going to end well. Like it's just who you are. So acknowledging that about yourself and getting in the game, and that's really as a creator what your life is risk, failure, and peppered with some successes, right? But like I said, as the great theologian Drake says, everybody dies, but not everybody lives.
Oh, that's true.
That's a very true statement.
And my final comment would be, if you want to scare yourself a little bit, picture yourself at the cemetery when they're lowering your body into the grave and realizing that you missed it.
Yeah, you never
You
really did
never
anything.
really did it,
And it's not even about being successful, it's taking the risk.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the greatest thing because society tells you that that's not what matters, but it is. It's everything.
It's what makes you feel alive. And there's nothing quite like something that moves you in a direction that excites you.
Yeah.
I'm not a big risk taker, and when I watch some of these daredevils do some of these crazy things that just scare me to death just watching it on a TV screen, let alone doing it, in some small sense, I understand the exhilaration of doing something that they feel gives their life meaning.
Yes.
And everybody needs to find that. So.
Yes. So we'll do that next week,
Okay.
and we'll see you on Thursday.
All right. See ya.